John chapter 14, if you would have your Bible, please. February is Heart Month. I'll be preaching messages today and the next three Sundays on the heart. The Bible has much to say about the heart. The Bible says that our heart is the seat of emotions. The Bible said that in Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your heart and my heart needs a touch of God today. I don't know about you, but oftentimes my heart will get cold on God. I'll get an old stony heart, and God has to break it sometime. And I'm thankful sometime He'll reach down and do that very thing, that He'll break it. And thank God when He breaks it, the tears start flowing. And I want to be there. John chapter 14, if you can, stand with me, please. We'll read three verses of Scripture. It's a very familiar passage. Many times it's preached in a lot of funeral services. But I want us to look this morning at the troubled heart. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will and receive you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, Brother James Parrish, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Many of you know I teach in the Bible Institute in Greensboro, Greensboro Bible Institute. It was started by Dr. Billy Canoy many, many years ago. Dr. Canoy is with the Lord today. I feel very privileged and honored to be on the faculty there. Tuesday night I went in to teach my class at 6:30. I'm teaching on Romans, and I taught my class, but the dean of the Institute had asked me if I'd stay on and preach in chapel, and I said I would. And so as I walked into the office there, I had not met this man. He just came on board this semester. The previous gentleman that was teaching the class that I'm doing and also teaching Greek, because of health reasons and his age, he had to give that up. But there sat a man in the office that I walked in, and his color did not look real good, Gail. And he was coughing real bad. I had not met Roger DeFuca. As I walked in the office there, I was going to just wait for a while until it was chapel time. I had about an hour to wait, but he continued to cough. And to be honest with you, I just got over the flu, and I didn't know what he may have, so I just excused myself and went and sat in the chapel. And Brother Wayne asked me, he said, "Brother Frank, you going to sing tonight?" I said, "Well, I hadn't come prepared." And so they were trying to round up a piano player for me. And as I sat there in chapel and studying over what I was going to preach on, what I was going to sing, about 30 minutes passed, and Brother Wayne came by. He's the dean of the Institute, and he was troubled. He said, "Brother Frank, we're going to just cancel chapel tonight. We're just going to let all the students go home. Roger's had, we think, a heart attack." By that time, they had called the ambulance. I got up. I had not realized, and I looked down the hallway, and there they had the back doors open. The Greensboro Fire Department was there, and then they had the ambulance to pull up. Roger was in the front room, and as they began to work on him, I could not see that, but they took one of those, they didn't bring the stretcher, but they put him on a board. And you folks, somehow we've got some nurses here, we've got medical folks here this morning, y'all know what I'm talking about, but they had some type of device that was working his heart up and down. They put him on the board and got him in the ambulance and took him to the hospital. I told Brother Wayne, it just shook us all up. Here he was sitting in the chair, coughing just 1 minute. The next thing, he fell out on the floor. I want you to pray for this man. He's in Cone Hospital right now. He's in critical condition. I talked to Brother Wayne yesterday, and I said, "How is Roger?" He said, "Not good." By the time they got him to the hospital, Miss Gale, he had had another heart attack, a massive heart attack. right now he's 62 years old, which is not an old man. But right now there is no brain activity going on, and it does not look good for him. As I thought about that, I thought about this verse here, how that Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I thought about many folks today have trouble with their heart. On a physical side, I read the latest statistics I could find. About 600,000 people die of heart disease in the United States. That's one death that occur because of heart disease. It is the leading cause for both men and women of death. More than half of the deaths due to heart disease were in men. Coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease, killing more than 385,000 people annually. Every year, about 935,000 Americans have a heart attack. Of these, 610,000 have a first heart attack. 325,000 happen in people who have already had a heart attack. Now, you and I know that a physical heart problem can take your life. Some of you have been there. Some of you have had problems with your heart. Some in this building have had heart attacks before. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you perhaps sat this morning with a little bottle of nitroglycerin tablets with you, that in case things start acting up, you've got something that you can take. But there is not only there's a physical heart trouble, but there's a spiritual heart trouble. Here in John chapter 14, for just a few minutes this morning, I want you to see these disciples that Jesus was talking to. They were experiencing spiritual heart trouble. For the Bible said there, Jesus could look at them and he could see that they were very troubled. He had spoke of his death. He had spoke about Calvary. He had spoke about leaving them. And their hearts were troubled. They were upset. They were discouraged. They had right reason to believe to have heart trouble, because one of them would betray Christ and sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. One of them would go out and deny and curse that he knew not God, did not know Jesus that night. They had every reason to have some heart trouble. But here in John chapter 14, the great physician, the Lord Jesus, comes to those disciples and he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." And then he goes on, I want to share with you four cures that Jesus gave to a troubled heart. First of all, would you notice in the passage we've read, the person of Christ. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." That's the first step in relieving heart trouble. Jesus said in these verses, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Beloved, as it has already been said this morning, as Brother Steve sang about it today, as the dear lady sang here about the blood of Jesus Christ, there is but one way to heaven. There are not many ways. It's not through Mohammed, Confucius, Allah, Joseph Smith, Charles Russell, or anybody else. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus. That's the first step. Our problem is, and from the pulpit to the pew, our problem is we have a wicked heart. You say, "Oh, preacher, don't be so hard on yourself, honey. I'm talking about from here all the way down. We've got a wicked heart." The Bible said in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I know Richard and Rita are proud grandparents again. I spoke to them this morning and I said, "How's Grandma? How's Grandpa?" I know they're proud grandparents. That baby was born on Wednesday of this week. And I know Sister Lily, she's a proud great-grandmother. And I know there's other folks that's proud. I'm sure that Stephanie is proud of that baby girl. But may I tell you something? No, I know from experience, I've had two children and now we've got a grandbaby. And I know, Brother Rodney, and you can. I would say that you could say this is true. Those children, as much as you love them, they'll lie to you. They'll cry when they're not wed. They'll cry sometime to get your attention. And you say, oh, preacher, that little infant baby, oh, may I say to you, we are born into sin. The Bible said, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everyone in here breathing God's air is a sinner. Either you're a saved sinner on your way to heaven, you're a lost sinner on your way to hell. But everybody in here, we're lost when we were born into sin. When the Bible said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That means that I was born a sinner. And the only way that I can get a new heart is by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a wicked heart. The Bible said in Jeremiah, I have a wicked heart. Who can know that heart? Oh, listen to me this morning. Would to God today that some of us would grasp the fact that it doesn't matter what you do on Sunday morning. Would to God today that we would grasp the fact that 24/7 there is a God in heaven that sees us and knows us and watches us and knows everything about us. Our heart is wicked. Say amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what's the cure for that? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 that we have an evil heart of unbelief. Do you realize this morning that the only sin, there is but one sin that will send you to hell? You say, oh boy, I'm glad for that. That means that drinking liquor won't send me to hell. No. Oh, that means that adultery won't send me to hell. No. Oh, does that mean that murder won't send me to hell? No. Do you know the one sin that will send you to hell is unbelief? That is one sin. You may be sitting here this morning in a very comfortable place on padded pews. You walk out today, lost without Jesus Christ, die in your sins. You may have been a good person, lived a good life, put money in the offering plate. You may have even been baptized, joined the church. But if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. The only sin that will send you to hell is unbelief. You may be planning on it. You may be thinking about it. You may be expecting to get saved one of these days, but you know in your heart this morning, right now, the Holy Ghost of God is saying to you, listen to what that preacher's saying. Better listen to him. This may be the last chance you have. How quickly our life. Tuesday night, walked in. Sister Gail Roger was sitting where you're sitting. I walked right by him. He was coughing. How quickly life can change. And my friend, may I say to you this morning, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may be sitting here in good health this morning. You may say, I don't have a care in the world. My bills are paid. I've got a comfortable living. I've got a nice house. I've got a good car to drive. Honey, all that could be gone tomorrow. What's our problem? We need the physician to do a work on our heart. The only sin I said will send you to hell is unbelief. You may be expecting one day to get saved. You may have said to yourself, I'll get saved one of these days. Miss Joanne, it's only been about 3 weeks ago. I started down here to church one Thursday night, and I felt miserable. I got as far as Burlington. I called Brother James. I said, James, I'm not going to make it. I just feel horrible. I turned around, went back home. I did go out on Friday, went to a meeting that we were scheduled for. I shouldn't have, but I went. I felt horrible. Saturday morning, I got up and went to the doctor, and he said, you got the flu. Well, like a good preacher, I called my deacon. I called Brother James, and I thought, my deacons will pray for me. Amen. And I said, James, I've got the flu. He said, preacher, we'll pray for you, but you know when you get back to church, you're going to get a whipping. I thought, boy, what love. And this is what he said. He said, you know, you've been telling all of us to get a flu shot, but you didn't get yours, did you? I'm like, no, I didn't. Pat here said, he didn't ask me to bring him one. My daughter kept saying, Daddy, when are you going to get your flu? I'm going to get it. Listen, I'm going to get it. I'd go buy urgent care, and I'd see that sign, flu shots, $15. I said, that's a good deal. I'm going to get one, Steve. But I'd pass that and I'd keep it going. I'd have every reason. I expected to get one. I did not expect to get the flu. I expected to get a flu shot like I normally do. But I kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, until one day I put it off too late. That's like a lot of folk. Miss Gale, they'll come to church. They'll sit on a pew. They know they're lost without Jesus. They know they're going to go to hell if they go that way. They know that. And yet, my friend, they say, not today, preacher. Maybe tomorrow. Not this week. Maybe next week. Not this Sunday. Maybe next Sunday. And honey, I tell you what, it's been a crying shame, but I've had to preach some people's funeral that I know went to hell. Why? Because they put it off. They put it off. What's the problem here? Well, my friend, we need a new heart. There's no doubt about it. We need a new heart.
Ezekiel says this, cast away from your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed and make you a new heart and a new spirit.
For why they will die. The only hope that we can have is the great physician to come by and perform heart surgery and give us a new heart. My friend, listen, what? What if today you were taken to the hospital? What if today you were taken and examined and found out that you needed a heart transplant immediately? And someone would come in, a doctor would come in and perhaps say to you, well, you know, we're a little short-handed this morning. You need a heart transplant, but we just don't have an available surgeon on hand. But I tell you what we've done. We've gone down yonder to the veterinarian clinic. And we've gotten a good vet, and we're going to let him operate on you. And he'd never done this before, but we're going to let him practice on you. You say, not on me. I want somebody that's skilled in it. I want somebody that has done it before. I want somebody that's got experience. And friend, can I tell you this morning that when Dr. Jesus comes, he's the great surgeon. He'll operate and take out the stony heart. And the Bible said in Ezekiel 11:19, I'll give them a heart. I'll put a new spirit within them. I'll take out the stony heart and give them a heart, a flesh. Thank God when Jesus operates, he does a masterful job. He'll go in, take out that old, cold, stony heart, and he'll put in a new heart. Second of all, the person of Christ. Second of all, notice the promise of heaven. How do we get there? The Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions because of Jesus. How do you know there's a heaven? I had Brother Steve to sing that this morning, and I cannot help but every time he sings that, and this is just maybe me, but every time he talks about, I was there when his mother went to heaven, and I know his mom's still living, but I was there when my mother slipped out into the portals of glory. My two sisters stood around her bed, and we sang that night as she was in the nursing home, had been there for 5 years, and I believe we could hear the fluttering of that. And as mom went up into the portals of glory, thank God there is a place of heaven, a reunion of the saints of God. Thank God that they are alive today. They're not some ghost floating on a cloud, but thank God heaven is a real place, just like Ramsur, North Carolina, just like Harmony Baptist Church. It is a real place with real people in it. What a blessing that is. I'm glad to tell you there's the promise of heaven. John described that place. He said it was a beautiful city of gold. The streets were paved with gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. But honey, when I got news for you, if it wasn't no gold, if the streets did not shine, if the walls were not of jasper, and then my friend, if there wasn't any beauty, still Jesus would be what make it heaven for me. Just like there is a heaven, there's also a hell. There's no in between. Third of all, notice there's a pronouncement of his return. Jesus told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you now. I don't have time to preach it this morning, but he was referring to like a Jewish wedding ceremony. What a beautiful picture. The Bible said, like Mary and Joseph, they were espoused together. They'd not come together in a physical union. We would call it like an engagement period, but it was a betrothal period. And what would happen is that this man and this woman, they would come before and they would be pronounced husband and wife, but they would not be living together. And then the husband would leave his wife in the care of perhaps her father, and he would go back to his parents' house, and in his parents' house he would begin fashioning a place for he and his wife to live in. Sometimes he'd be gone several months, sometimes maybe a year, but that wife was waiting and watching and listening for the time that her husband would return. And when all was ready, and when that house was finished, and when everything was put in place, and everything was just fitting, he would leave the father's house, make his journey all the way down into the city, many times at nighttime, with the male attendants. They'd have the torches, and they'd cry, "Oh, prepare ye the way, the bridegroom cometh, the bridegroom cometh." And then he'd come at nighttime many times, take his waiting bride back to the father's house, and there they would consummate their marriage forever and ever. That's what Jesus is doing. He's preparing everything. Thank God. Listen, I don't know about your house, but mine always is in need of repair. Joanne plays that song so well, "This Old House." In this old house, the windows panes may be broken. The doors may be rattling. The roof may be leaking. But honey, I got news for you. When we get to heaven, there won't be anything to be added to it. It'll all be perfect. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when all is ready, and when everything is right, and when all finish, then he'll return from the portals of glory. He'll give the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ, those out yonder in the cemetery will come out of the grave. Hallelujah. Living will be changed. Brother Jim and I, as our pastime, we love thrift stores, and we were together yesterday, and one of our dear ladies here, as she walked by my truck, she saw one of my possessions that I found yesterday. And she said to me this morning, I won't call her name, I'll just give her initials, but her initials are Sandy Parrish. She said, "I got news for you, don't try to ride that tricycle again on the back of your truck." I said, "I got it in case the truck breaks down." Me and Jim was in Goodwill yesterday, and we walked by, and I said, we looked at books. He found some books. I found a nice Bible, a Scofield Bible. Fellow probably didn't know what he had or didn't care what he had, I'll bring it in here and let y'all see. It's got Brother May's signature in it. It's got some of the old preachers of the past signature in it, Ralph Sexton. Man, it was worth the whole thing just for that page. But I bought the whole Bible for $5. But as we was looking around some of the books, there was a book there, and it said The Rapture Lie. And it was written by a Roman Catholic, and it said the Catholic's answer to the rapture. I said, "Jim, what do you think about that?" And he said, "I think it'd be a waste of time to read that." I said, "I agree with you." You see, my friend, regardless of what men may say, and regardless of what other religions may say, that book right there says, "I will come again." You've got Jesus' word on it. And that's better than money in the bank. Say amen. That's better than what the government can tell you. That's better than any promise a man can give you. Jesus said, "I will return," and thank God he's coming back again. Better get ready. But then notice also the path that he's provided. How do you get trouble? How do you get help for a troubled heart? How do you get help for a troubled heart? Preacher, where do I go? Where do I go? Preacher, I got heart trouble this morning. I'm not talking about physical heart trouble, but preacher, I've got trouble. Preacher, I got trouble with my children. I got trouble with home. I got trouble with finances. I got trouble with health. Preacher, I got a troubled heart. You know, this Bible said in the last days, men's hearts failing them for fear. I've got some folk here in the medical profession. We've got Brother Jeffrey's 911 dispatcher. We've got folk here. I guarantee you that the calls that they hear about folks' hearts failing them have probably escalated, has probably risen, because the Bible said in the last days men's hearts failing them for fear. When you've put everything you've got into this world and all of a sudden it's gone overnight, listen to me. I mean, every dime you've ever accumulated, if you've stuck it in a bank somewhere and all of a sudden you wake up tomorrow morning and it's all gone, honey, I got news for you. There'll be a lot of people that'll have troubled hearts. But how do you get relief? How do you find relief for a troubled heart? I'll tell you how. Make your way to the cross. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. They tell me over in England, in London, there's a section of town called Charing Cross, C-H-A-R-R-I-N-G, Charing Cross. One day, many years ago, a policeman was walking his beat, and there was a little boy that was frantically running around. He had gotten separated from his mother, and he did not know where he was, and he was lost. And he got to this policeman, and the policeman was trying to find out where the little boy lived, and he said, "Son, tell me, where do you live?" And he could not tell him where he lived. He didn't know his address. He didn't know how to tell this policeman how to get him home. But he lived near Charing Cross, and in those days they just called it the cross. And he said to him, "Sir, if you could point me in the direction of the cross, I can find my way home. For the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home." And there's where that song was born. How do you get help for a troubled heart? Through the person of the Lord Jesus, through the promise of heaven, through the pronouncement that he's returning. Thank God there's help for a troubled heart. The path that he's provided, the way of the cross leads home.